Welcome back to Heroic Journeys, Leveling Up with Chantel and Tamara. What are we talking about today?
Oh, we just were throwing out a phrase to each other. What does it mean, this idea that you create your own reality, which is, you know, in spiritual community now a big idea. And what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, it means leaving the victim mentality and going into an empowered mentality where we are not at cause with the world, like, oh, they did that to me, right? It's just like, I'm responsible for my own emotions. What they do or say is kind of irrelevant, you know? And that's what comes to my mind.
What comes to me is, you know, this is a phrase that you want to be really careful how you use it, because depending on what's going on in someone's life, you know, you can look, I mean, I have friends, I know people who have had terrible things happen to them. And to hear this idea of you create your own reality, that's a really tough pill to swallow, and not necessarily one I would want to give to people. And I've been at points in my life where if someone had, you know, you get a cancer diagnosis, oh, you create your own reality. And I won't say what comes to my mind in response to that, but you know, I think in hindsight, when you look back at your life, to me, it's the idea of resonance, that the level that I'm operating on is the level in which the world responds to me. And it's not necessarily that I would cause a horrible thing to happen to me, but I can work with that thing that happens to me. And I can either use it for transformation and growth, to move into a whole new phase or level up in my life, or I can, like you said, go down into victim mode and why is this happening? And I have had a tendency to do that at different points. Why is this happening to me? Why is there never any support for where I want to go with my life? And yet I've been in times of my life where I've made a decision, this is what needs to happen in my life, and then bam, 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 things fall into place. So it's a principle that I understand and get on a certain level. And then to actually master it.
Yeah. And I think it's a lifelong journey of mastering that.
Yeah.
And to me, seeing the big picture, like thinking in terms of, you know, several lifetimes, or, you know, you're on this side of eternity, right? Like, it makes the things that happen to us in our lives not such a, you know, I don't even know how to word it, because, like, I've been there. I am there in many places of my life, you know, like grief, right? Or pre-grief. It just catches you off guard sometimes, and you can be totally happy 1 second, and then something triggers you into it, and then you're just like, whoa, you know, like, so it's really a wild adventure, this hero's journey that we're on.
Yeah. There's a man named Robert Schwartz, I think is his name. He's written a series of books about pre-birth planning, which is it's a concept that either really intrigues you or that you might really react against. But it's this idea that as souls coming into our earth experience, we actually meet with, you could call it a council of elders in the spirit world ahead of time, to kind of determine what is the heroic journey, what is the quest that I want to experience in this lifetime.
What gifts you'll have.
Yeah, and draw out some of the broad circumstances, which doesn't necessarily mean that every bad thing that happens to you has been planned ahead of time. But, you know, in his book, he goes through the stories of people who have experienced some different horrendous things. And then through hypnotic regression and working with mediums and things like that, they delve into what was the higher purpose, what was the planning that went on kind of behind the scenes before this lifetime. And people have experienced tremendous healing by just even looking at whether or not you want to buy into the whole concept or not, looking at things from just that point of view. And so I've kind of developed I'm not always good at remembering this, but just the question of when something happens that feels like a real setback or a challenge, if my soul had chosen this experience for me to grow in some way, what would be the lesson or the growth that I would want to be experiencing as a result of this?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that's not always easy to do when you're in the throes of something.
And never ask anyone else that question. This is a very
right.
personal thing when
yes.
you're at that level. Not everybody is leveling up at the same time. So if you throw something out
yeah.
you're not ready for, or that's just, it's not okay to do that.
And it also depends on the person themselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
The more I get into astrology, the more I understand different modalities that people are operating from. Someone like me can get into my mind space quite easily and think of it as a thought experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that, oh, this is what's happening, but just if
yeah.
this was a thought experiment, kind of like Einstein, I'm going to engage in this as a thought experience and what could I learn from it?
Yeah, so like you're not looking at life, this is right and wrong, this is true and false, right? You're just
mm-hmm.
looking at ideas of what could be. And like when that was first presented to me, that like, well, some people believe that before we came to Earth, we planned our life. We planned the good and the bad, or we planned bumps in the road, whatever they may be. And I reacted to that. I was like, oh, well, every filter in my mind, everything I've been taught,
trigger.
That goes against it. Must not be true. But then I was just like, well, okay, well, if some people believe it, I'll entertain the thought. And you know, that was the most empowering thought I've ever entertained. And I was like, I like this feeling of being empowered, so I don't care if it's true or not. I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. Well, and getting back to this idea of creating your own reality, it is an interesting thing to experiment with in terms of you can make an intentional decision. I'm going to actually put myself in this mind frame for today and see how that changes my experience as I move through the world.
Like anomaly, right?
Yeah. And it's like we talked about with Sandra Bullock and the dancing. You move through the world differently if you dance in the morning before you leave the house.
Mm.
So what happens if you put yourself in a space of gratitude, even curiosity, amusement? What if you, this is a Suzanne Giesman thing, but isn't that interesting? What if whatever happens to you during the day, you made a decision in the morning before you left the house, I'm just going to say, isn't that interesting to whatever happens, whatever I hear on the news, and just see how that changes your reality.
Or even the whole idea of just go with it, right? Or like improv, you know, that sort of a thing, like plot twist,
yeah.
right? Like instead of like, oh, my day is ruined. Oh,
yeah.
like plot twist,
yeah.
right? Like what a different perspective, what a different attitude.
Yeah.
You know, you're having a better time in life if you're not in resistance to it
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Takes me back to Michael Singer and his book, The Surrender Experience, where he just took that attitude to his entire life. And the situations that he ended up in, that he did nothing to engineer, at least in his conscious mind.
They came to him.
But like
ready.
Like teaching
yeah.
an entire university course with no preparation, just showing up and, you know, what is it that spirit wants me to teach today?
I'm totally going to do that with hypnotherapy one day. They're going to be like, okay, universities have caught on to this idea. We need teachers. I'll be like, okay, I got this. I've been preparing my whole life.
Yeah.
But
we do the prep, right?
Yes,
we do the
exactly.
prep in terms of, how am I showing up in the world? Because it is the principle of resonance, that
mm-hmm.
what is the music that's playing inside me? Because that is the music that I'm going to see on the outside. And you know, you hear people talking and complaining about social media. Oh, there's so many people that are just angry all the time. And I get none of that in my newsfeed because
same.
I'm not looking for that.
Yep.
I have wonderful people who post
positive,
lovely
uplifting things
about
encouraging words.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I used to mix it up because I am a kind of fiery, passionate debater about topics that I feel invested in. But, you know, I find that, especially over the last couple of years, really grounding my body, practicing Qigong, somehow being more solid in myself means that I have unplugged more from those debates and dialogues that have to do with everything that's wrong in the world. And it's showing up in my newsfeed, like people drop away.
Well, I feel like we're like all sort of on different timelines. Like we are all really living different experiences. We are on the same planet, but yeah, you really can create the life that you want. You can, do things differently than have been done in the past. Like so often in life, we're given a choice of two things, so we don't realize that there's always a third, choice. Like there's always, you can always look for the win-win-win. There doesn't always have to be a right or wrong, a win or loser situation. Amanda Flaker talks about the win for myself, a win for others, a win for humanity, like all of, or a win for the planet. All of those things need to be in place for it to actually be a win. Like if I'm doing something for someone else, but it's not a win for me, then it's not a win. Like empaths are always like giving out their energy like that, but like you gotta make sure that you have all of the things.
Yeah, you're not just here to support everyone else's journey, right? If you think of the heroic journey, you're not here to be the person handing out the what do you call it, the energy bars as the hero comes running by all the time. You're on the path too, running along with everyone else. It was interesting, something you said to me or were just recently saying was making me think about eyewitnesses in a crime scene. And this idea of creating your own reality, how people will have different memories that might even completely contradict each other, or in a court of law, somebody will come in, one witness will have a story, the next witness. So there is this sense that we see what resonates with our field of vision, which comes out of the space that we're in, the level that we're working on.
A level of
If I'm a
consciousness,
victim,
yeah.
everything to me is going to look like an attack. And if I'm working from mastery, then everything to me is going to look like an opportunity to weave, the tapestry of my life in a way that is beautiful and that represents the picture that I want to create.
And siblings too. Like I have a lot of siblings, and we remember the same events very differently. And also how I remember events before my healing journey and then after my healing journey, very, very different.
Yeah,
You
it's
know, it's like there was a dark cloud over everything where I saw certain people as the aggressor, right? Or certain people as the
yeah.
savior. There was always the victim, aggressor, savior paradigm. And I feel like we need to get out of that paradigm and, just really shift our focus to what world do we want to create?
Yeah.
Just notice where we're like sort of being enslaved or conditioned to act or believe certain things.
What if we all truly believed we were the heroes of our own journey? And every morning before you left the house, you put on your hero cape. I'm going out into the world to create excellence,
With an
to,
intention.
yeah. Yeah, what's your motto? What's your heroic motto?
Like, if we don't have an intention, then we are living life for someone else,
In
even if we don't know
reaction.
that person.
You're living in reaction all the time.
And
Steve,
resistance.
yeah. Stephen Covey always says that between stimulus and response, there's a space, and that is where you have all your power. And so
In the
you
present
can,
moment, in the now.
yeah.
All the teachers say
That is
that.
the space where you create your reality in the thoughts you choose to think and in the choices that you make. We've worked with William
I was just thinking the same exact thing,
Wycloud.
yes.
And then out of that work comes a series of creative choices that and he says the one criteria for a creative choice is that it would fill you with joy to do it. And
Just
so,
for the sake of doing it,
yeah.
not for any particular
Alter your motive.
or destination.
Yeah. And so that is kind of my practice for shaping my reality every morning is that I go through my creative choices. And I've also incorporated some of Paul Selig's work with that in the sense of every time I say a creative choice, I also add, I am word through this intention. And so that is this idea that I am an emanation of the source of the light. And that endows me with divine creative ability to shape my reality. And on an ego level, there's still that question. But the wonderful thing about William Whitecloud's work is like you state your creative choice, And then you allow yourself to go in the space of, but here are the obstacles in my life. Here's why I can't actually do this right now. And you acknowledge that part of you and then go back to the choice. And I choose the end result of.
Mm-hmm. I like the visual that William White Cloud said about the GPS. You can't get to where you're going, or you can't feel what you want to feel if you're not clear on where you are right now. Mm-hmm. So like that's like the shadow, or, you know, just coming face to face with some of those limiting beliefs that all of us have, such as I'm not enough, or I'm rejected, or any of those core limiting beliefs. I feel like if you study the Enneagram, like we're born, each of us, with at least one or two of those, like really, you know, those limiting beliefs that our ego just latches onto and tells us that story, but it's not the case. But until you see that as it is, you can't move forward. You can't create.
And to be honest, there is nothing in our societal conditioning, our trajectory through education, that really teaches us how to master our creative powers in order to shape our own reality. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we now have internet and all kinds of books and things, and there is a growing awareness and so many spiritual teachers out there who are helping us move beyond this victim mentality.
I love this song, The Voice of Truth. The Voice of Truth tells me a different story. You know, it's a religious song, but I just love that the lyrics to it, because you have like the critic on one shoulder and the coach on the other shoulder, right? You always have to balance it out with the voice of truth. And also, I think about people who live their whole life based on what their mind says. Like they let their mind be in control of them versus letting their heart lead the way, and the mind is their servant. You know, like it's like, who's the servant and who's the master, right?
Yeah. It's been a real heartache to me as an educator to see the mental disciplines, I guess, prioritized above the arts, because you were talking about a song that really spoke to you a second ago.
Yeah, The Voice of Truth. Yeah.
And what came up for me was the song Unwritten.
That's like my ultimate favorite song.
Amanda Bellingham, Bettingham? I forget.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Okay. Read the lyrics, because that is all about shaping your reality. But I think it's often through the creative pursuits that we come to that vision of what is the reality I want to shape. Writing poetry, music, art, all of those things connect us with the reality that we want to create. It's not, we're not going to find that in the news. We're not going to find that in achieving excellence in study necessarily, but to connect with that higher vision, we need the creative influx of the inspiration, getting back to spirit.
Yeah. So I just like journaling is very, very helpful to me with the whole creating process, because I write where I am right now, and then I write what I want to feel, where I want to go. And it just gives me an intention for the day. It gives me encouragement. And, like, I'm encouraging myself, right? And, it does make me feel like a hero. And I know what works for me isn't going to work for everybody. So find your own thing that makes you feel like a hero. And
Well, there's a lot. Just the last thing I want to mention is creative visualization. Because when you make your creative choices, I choose the end result of. Can you visualize that end result of what it is you want to create? And can you feel what it would feel like to actually be at the end point of having that manifested in your life or whatever it is? And it's not about, and go beyond the, I wish, I want to have $1 million, because why is it that you want $1 million?
It's because you want to feel a certain way.
Yeah. I keep going back to the, I want this so that, go to the end so that, and you'll probably end up with peace, serenity, go to the core of what you want and bypass all of this, you know, crap that we are conditioned to think that we need to have. And go straight to the source of what it is you want, and then visualize and feel it.
And a very helpful mantra for me is, I am enough, we are enough, there is enough. Because when you're creating from that viewpoint that there is enough in this world, you know, that we are enough, that I personally am enough, then you're limitless.
That's a good note to end on.
Yep.
All right.
Until next time, continue to be the hero of your own journey.